This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Holiday vigilance, Ramadan and the 4th of July figuring into plans for possible terrorist attacks this week, according to the U.S. government. Vigilance about the financial cliffhanger in Greece is keeping markets more than a little jittery. And the Iran nuclear talks are also up against a history-making deadline. We'll keep watch on all of these this hour and begin with what looks like a possible summer surge by ISIS. The targeting of British tourists in Tunisia on Friday is the focus of an investigation getting underway today by British and Tunisian investigators into that killing of 39 people at a beachside resort in the city of Sousse. A U.S.-owned chemical plant in Lyon was also targeted on Friday, and in Kuwait, a suicide bomber killed 27 people in an attack on one of the largest Shiite mosques in Kuwait City. Alexander Evans is the coordinator of a United Nations Security Council expert team focusing on extremist groups. Alexander, great to have you back.
Thank you for having me on the show.
So what would you advise? Is this a lone wolf summer surge? It could be a surge, even if it is just lone wolf attacks. It doesn't have to be coordinated the way ISIS works.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be coordinated. But I think what we're seeing is the dividend of what's been a couple of years of intense propaganda activity by ISIS, by some of the other al-Qaeda groups that are still active as well. And particularly we're seeing the yield that comes from all these foreign terrorist fighters that have flowed to Syria and Iraq and that have also helped to radicalize people, for example, in Europe, who are conducting attacks.
We've seen a lot of reports of how that radicalization takes place. A young woman in the United States profiled in the New York Times over the weekend, some individuals who were captured being interrogated in Europe. The radicalization is a very powerful force that ISIS has. But can you see a strategy here? Is there a sense that ISIS wants territory, that ISIS wants to inflame a Shia-Sunni sectarian battle? Is there an overall sense of what they're trying to achieve here?
Well, I think you've identified some of their strategic goals. They want to certainly increase Shia-Sunni tensions. They want to gain control and keep control of territory, not just in Syria and Iraq, but also, as we've seen, in Libya, where ISIS has been on the advance. They're also trying to encourage loyalty from a range of different terrorists worldwide, from Afghanistan to Southeast Asia, through to some of the African groups as well. So this is definitely a move to consolidate and to push forward their agenda on a global scale.
Would you agree with the U.S. officials who suggest there needs to be a higher level of alert or some kind of alert status over the holiday weekend here in the United States?
Well, I think each country is able to provide the best assessment of the threat as it evolves. Normally, those threat assessments are going to be delivered on the basis of intelligence. There's usually a higher risk around big public events or big public holidays. But I think I'd leave it to individual countries like the U.S. to determine what their threat level should be.
Is ISIS capable of, and is there any evidence that they might be interested in, shutting down tourism in the Middle East and stifling the flow of hard currency to some of the Middle East governments who can't rely on oil?
Well, I think one country that is of deep interest to them is Tunisia. Why is Tunisia so keenly of interest? It's next door to Libya, where ISIS has a significant presence. It's been the source of many foreign terrorist fighters who've flown out to the Middle East, primarily to fight in the Syria conflict. But it's also been the source of domestic radicalization. So there have been a range of groups operating in Tunisia that have been recruiting and planning attacks. If they can help destabilize the government in Tunisia, that does depend very strongly on tourism revenue, that might allow them to establish a foothold in Tunisia in a way that they haven't done yet. They've recruited Tunisians, but maybe not yet established a sufficient presence inside Tunisia.
Let's end on something a little speculative, but there is an interesting sort of contrast here. You've got Tunisia that's definitely under threat, as you say, on the West side of the Middle East and North Africa, but on the eastern side, Turkey. Turkey has a similar tourist industry. It is also an Islamist country, even though it's explicitly secular. It's got an Islamist leader, President Erdogan. Do you believe that Turkey is paying some kind of protection fund to keep ISIS out of Turkey right now, that it's made its own deal with ISIS?
I'm not aware of any deal-making between Turkey and ISIS. And actually, I think over the last year, Turkey's been at the forefront of efforts not just to try and tackle this enormous flow of foreign terrorist fighters, but also really to try and restrict ISIS's ability to import commodities and gain revenue from trade. So Turkey's very much on the front line of this, and Turkey has radicalization to worry about itself.
And it's in the fight, as far as you can tell.
I think Turkey's part of the coalition that's been taking an effort on ISIS, yes.
Do you see any change in what's happened in Syria before we go?
Well, I think Syria, what's tricky is you have the conflict that's taking place there, and you have this overlay of terrorist groups linked to ISIS and al-Qaeda. The longer it drags on, in many ways, the tougher the problem gets.
Alexander Evans is the coordinator of a United Nations Security Council expert team focusing on extremist groups of all kinds. Alexander, thanks so much.
Thank you.
What would you do to quell the violence by the self-proclaimed Islamic State this summer? From Orlando, Florida, a social media campaign to inform and educate about ISIS while guarding against glorifying it is called for. It's not enough to just address it on the news. They are recruiting with the zeal and seduction of a cult. Hilo, Hawaii, there needs to be a dialogue with ISIS leaders. Even if they are a terrorist group, they have pull and influence in their surrounding environment and abroad, and we need to better manage it.
This is Harv from Austin, Texas. The only way to stop ISIS is to stop the flow of money and supplies to them. I'm not sure why they're not talking about that.
Marla from Spokane Valley in Washington State. One thing that I think will help is if they receive less publicity for the horrendous things that they do, they will have less popularity and they will certainly be less well known.
Hi, my name is Scott. I'm calling from Michigan. And I think that our best course of action here is to use drones and strategic airstrikes while mainly supporting the Iraqi military, because it's cheaper in both terms of American lives and dollars, and we are not going to get sucked into another ground war in the Middle East this way.
You can join this conversation by calling 877-8-MY-TAKE. That's 877-8-MY-TAKE.